Hey, this is Charlie Starr from Blackberry Smoke, and you're listening to Iron City Rocks.
All right, man. You got Riley here from the Georgia Thunderbolts, TJ Lyle from the Thunderbolts, and you're listening to Iron City Rocks.
Hello and welcome to episode 538 of the Iron City Rocks podcast. I'm your host, John, coming to you from the Iron City of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, bringing the best rock, hard rock, heavy metal, and blues talk on the net. Episode 538, we have a band who is joining us again for the second time, the Georgia Thunderbolts, which is great to get a chance to check them out once again. And also a band we're going to introduce you to called The Cold Stairs. We're going to talk to Chris from them in just a little bit. The Georgia Thunderbolts, if you remember, a regular listener to the show, were on back in 2020 when we were right at the depths of the lockdown. So they were putting some great music out at the time but weren't able to tour. So I'm pleased to announce that they've got a brand new album out. It's called Rise Above It All. And they also have a live date in our area finally. They're going to be doing a show September 30th. At the Original City Winery on Smallman Street. We'll have links to the tickets on our website, so you check out the show notes, but we're going to get into an interview with TJ after we play you some brand new Georgia Thunderbolts.
I'm falling faster than I But now you've looked away. We used to be so careless and free, with love on our minds. Now it's gone away, you see. And here I am falling, crawling my way back. You make it easy and tell me how you feel. Don't take the long road and play around too long, 'cause it kills. If you're crawling my way back to you.
My pleasure to welcome back to Iron City Rocks. We have on the line TJ from the Georgia Thunderbolts. How are you doing today, man?
I'm all right, man. Thank you.
It's awesome to get a chance to talk to you guys again and under much better circumstances. We spoke, I think, it was either shortly before or after your EP came out in 2020. So we were all in the midst of lockdown, and I remember talking to you guys about how you promote a record when you can't go anywhere. So obviously things are shaping up much better for you guys for this new album, Rise Above It All. Which fantastic collection of songs. Can we talk a little bit about, you know, where these songs came from as far as writing? Were these things you've had in the vault for a while, ideas you've had on scraps of paper in your phones, or was this a, you know, sit down and hash out writing session?
About 80% of these songs really came from just experiences on the road and ideas that came from road while we were on the road. About the other 20% were some that we had worked on in the past, came back to and tried to rework and brought a new life to an older sound, you know. And but a lot, majority of the material is new, and it was just ideas on the road, experience we lived, and you know, trying to create something that, you know, is intriguing and new, but it's still the Thunderbolt sound.
Right. The as far as lyrically, I mean, I think some of it's neat because I listen to it, and I think some of it I'm like, I hear Ronnie Van Zant, I have to admit, in some of the lyrics. Are these lyrics you write, or do you guys kind of collaborate internally on the lyrics, or how do you approach the lyrical content?
I normally write the lyrics. Yeah, that's kind of my game. The guys, you know, we all get together, they do the music, and I just try to hash out the melody and the lyrics and stuff.
Is it part of singing you like writing? I mean, some people are very good singers and don't enjoy writing. Some people, you know, agonize, you know, the record's all done and you're stuck somewhere in a closet trying to write lyrics. Is it a pretty seamless part a process for you personally?
I love writing just as much as I do singing. I love the creativity of it and where certain thoughts can take you and certain notes can take you. And I'm just a huge fan of music in general. And I love, you know, I love the art of it, and I love exploring and doing things. But I love songwriting more than anything, just as much as I do singing.
And that's a cool thing to be in. And I feel like your lyrics in particular, and I think the same of Ronnie, and not that they're that similar as far as the content, but I feel like you kind of invite the listener in to know you. You know, they're very autobiographical, even if you're not trying to be. I mean, these might be completely fictional, and, you know, in which case you're really good at this. But do you tend to write about just your personal experiences as opposed to like a third party sort of fictional thing?
Yeah, sometimes I write about things that I've seen somebody go through, or I've heard about, or I know somebody personally that may go through. I'm not trying to put anybody's bad business out there, but a lot of it's just come from a lot of my life experience and what I've been through and what I've seen close people around me go through, and I kind of just pick up on that. And maybe I have been through some things some people haven't, and maybe, you know, people have been through things that I haven't or could never understand, but I just try to put all that out of my mind and put myself in those shoes, you know.
So when we last spoke, as I said, we were in the middle of lockdown, so it was like, okay, this is a great, I think it was an EP at the time, if my memory serves me, but we really can't get, you hope people listen to it, but it's kind of tough. So this is a whole different scenario for you guys who have been here. It's been a couple of years since you've been to Pittsburgh, but you're able to get on the road. You've been able to tour with bands like Blackstone Cherry and things like that are much more. Is that really help kind of snowball the fan base behind you guys?
Yeah, definitely. The biggest part about it is when people come out and we get to meet them, you know, and we strike a friendship with them. That's how majority of our friends have stuck around anyway, because we're such personable people, you know. And we love getting to know the people who pay good money to come see us play and want to hear our music.
Does the style of the music, and this is a question I've asked of Charlie Starr, for example, you know, when you guys have your music does kind of blend, and country is in a lot of ways has kind of moved more towards rock music. And there's yeah. much more crossover now with artists like Jelly Roll and people like that. Has that kind of helped you guys in that you're really able to borrow from two different sets of audience? You guys could be on a Brad Paisley show just as easy as you could be on like a ZZ Top show.
Yeah. I mean, it's great that, you know, I think our musical backgrounds individually as a band, mm-hmm. everybody has such different and drastically different backgrounds in music they mm-hmm. grew up listening to. And when all of that comes together, you know, there's a lot of country, there's a lot of metal, there's a lot of, you know, rock and stuff like that. But like my thing is, I listen to a lot of soul music. So when the guys are playing something heavier, I'm thinking, like, what would Wilson Pickett do with this, you know?
That, there's a t-shirt for you. What would Wilson Pickett do? Yeah, that's... But look at, you know, one of your state, you know, bands from the same state. Look how much, you know, success the Black Crowes had with, Otis song. So, I mean, some of that stuff does translate. And you guys have got, I think, a sound that's very well positioned to fit in different situations and, you know, where, you know, maybe a straight on rock band or even some metal bands, you know, you're kind of limited in the gigs you can play. You know, you're not going to get thrown on a band that there, you know, might be a death metal band isn't going
to
get put on.
It's hard to be Pantera and play with George Strait.
Yeah, although boy, would I like to listen to that. You know, that would be out of the blue clear sky with a little cemetery. Gates, so that would be a cool mashup, I think that the state of music right now, country's become so much more acceptable in the mainstream than really, you know, growing up in the era when I did, you know, other than like Randy Travis, and this was even as George Strait got started, that, you know, country music wasn't nearly the influence. You had some bands like the Georgia Satellites, for example, who certainly blurred the lines, but you know, I think there's a lot of bands have kind of gone both ways in that now. And you're seeing bands like the Black Crowes.
Yeah, and there's not many that I've seen anymore that are doing that, that are the one that can turn around and play the country. You know, a handful.
Yeah.
A handful, like your, Blackberry Smokes and like your Black Crowes, too. I mean, they got the softer stuff, too, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember asking Charlie Starr, like, if you walked into a record store, where would you find your record? Because... You know, there's some stuff, some of their earlier albums, it was almost song to song, the style of it. And I think, as a listener, some, you know, there's people like me who really enjoy that variety, you know, that every song isn't necessarily, a certain tempo country song or a certain tempo metal song. You know, I like the fact. And he even mentioned...
The diversity, I love that.
Yeah. You know, you look at some of the Rolling Stones, too, you know, you know, there's a lot of country mixed in as well as blues, but a lot of country in the...
One of my favorites, Far Away Eyes. That one always catches me off guard. Yeah. I'm like, Stones?
The Girl with the Far Away Eyes. Exactly, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that's a perfect example in the kind of stuff that...
The Beatles did it, too. They had their pop and rock, and then they'd do songs like I Don't Want to Spoil the Party, which could have been a Buck Owens hit.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's great that bands... have that level of confidence in the material and the songwriting, and a credit to Mascot too for having the faith in bands to let them do that. You know, it's very easy for them to say, okay, you know, you had a hit with, or you know, you got a lot of clicks on track X, go write me 13 of those. You know, that would be a very easy thing for. Yeah, and I think that you know, you're talking about metal, and as a big fan of hair metal, that's ultimately what killed it. You know, everybody wants to blame Nirvana, but it wasn't. It was the fact that we wrote 7 albums of the exact same formula. It was like up-tempo, power ballad.
Eventually that gets old quick.
Yeah, yeah. So when you guys, I mean, obviously your show in Pittsburgh is still a little ways off, but do you guys, obviously this is, correct me if I'm wrong, this is your second full-length record?
Yes, this will be the second. Yes, sir.
So are you guys going to go kind of heavy on this material, or how do you...
Well, as we were just talking about, kind of like diversity, you know, this one's, it's got some heavy songs on it, but it's also got some softer songs, and it's got a ballad or two on there. It's a little more diverse, you know. It's got a few soul songs on it, rock songs, heavier songs, and it's got some countryer songs. So it's got something for everybody.
As a singer, when you're in front of an audience, is there a particular style that maybe is a little bit trickier, like a slow song, or you mentioned soul? Are there ones that challenge you more from a performance standpoint? You know, sometimes you think, you know, the faster up-tempo songs, there's not enough time to be nervous or to think about it too much. But some of the slower songs may be a little, you know, is that more challenging as a singer?
You got to control the adrenaline. I've noticed that when you're coming back singing those really hard and heavy and fast songs, when you get there with like just a piano or an acoustic guitar, you kind of have to dial it back and find that softer side real fast. You got to be able to switch back and forth. And that's something that I've come to get pretty comfortable doing. But it was kind of a struggle at first, you know, trying not to oversing songs that shouldn't be oversung.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine that it's probably when the music is quieter, you might think, and I've had this discussion with drummers, where sometimes they tend to play more to fill the silence, but sometimes that silence is gold. You know, it's
silence is needed.
Yeah, you listen to John Bonham, maybe he can tell you that story. But yeah, it's fantastic. So you guys will be coming in, you'll be doing a show at the City Winery, a nice size club, very similar to you guys played Jurgles back in 2021. This place is not very similar in size, but this one's right in the heart of the city. It'd be fantastic to see you guys, and I think people are going to go nuts when they hear this record. I think this will be the end of the chances to see you guys in a venue you know, of these sizes. I expect to see you guys in much bigger things coming up, so I want to congratulate you on a fantastic record, TJ, and wish you
so
safe travel.
That. Stained.
And Breaking Benjamin. September 10th, the Pavilion at Star Lake.
I'm on the outside.
Special guest, Lakeview. Tickets on sale now at LiveNation.com. Don't miss Stained and Breaking Benjamin.
Again, a big thank you to TJ from the Georgia Thunderbolts. Again, they'll be in town on the 30th of September to do a show at the original City Winery on Smallman Street. If you go to our website, ironcityrocks.com, and click on episode 538, we'll have links to where you can get those tickets and also where you can pick up that new album, which is available now, Rise Above It All. So certainly an awesome slab of music for fans of bands like Blackberry Smoke, Kentucky Headhunters, Tyler Bryan, who's been on our show. Really great stuff. We're going to turn our attention now to a band similar in a way, but radically different. The band is called The Cold Stairs. They're out of Evansville, Indiana, and they've got a great new album that is going to be coming out within just a few days. It comes out on September 6th, so right about the time the NFL season tips it off, you can get The Southern from The Cold Stairs. So we're going to talk to vocalist Chris Tapp about the band and introduce you to them. From the band The Cold Stairs, we have Chris Tapp on the line. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. You guys, here in your 10th year of releasing albums, are set to put out a new album later, early in the fall, late in the summer. I guess it depends on how you break that up. But The Southern, can you talk a little bit about, you know, how these particular songs came together and how you guys kind of keep up this pace, and, you know, which is almost unheard of in the music industry anymore, the people putting out albums every year or two?
Yeah, you know, I think we've always been studio rats and loved to be in the studio and recording from early on. Brian and I had studios in our home, and then as we started working on records, we were lucky enough to work with engineers like Mark Needham and producers that we were able to sit at the board with and kind of watch what they were doing. So we kind of got a grip on how to record pretty early on. And then as far as The Southern goes, we've been in October and December of last year, and went in with 10 songs, ended up recording about 22, I think, by the time we were finished. But we had just been around the world the last couple of years and had been noting that in interviews, a lot of times people would say we're Southern or Southern blues rock.
Right.
And that was never really our intention, but because we kept getting that tag, we thought, well, you know, we've done a few different records in a few different shades of colors. We wanted to try one that was a little bit more based on our Southern influences. So that's kind of how we arrived at this one.
Yeah, and that's not a bad place to be, really. I mean, and it's probably a smart move from a marketing standpoint. If you're getting pegged as something, to embrace it. You know, there's a lot of bands, I think, that try to fight, you know, where they're pigeonholed. And music, you know, so much more pigeonholed than I think it used to be. But, you know, you're either, you know, you're this kind of music or you're this kind of music. But, you know, I think being dubbed a Southern band is probably not a terrible thing, because a lot of those bands aren't flash in the pan, so to speak. You know, you don't see a lot of kind of one-hit wonders or bands that kind of disappear quickly. From the standpoint of traveling, does that help you as a lyricist kind of come up with material? I mean, obviously being on the road probably lends itself to just writing about that experience, but the constant traveling town to town, does that give you more, you think, to write about?
I think it does. It also gives a better perspective on when I'm writing, just a little bit of better worldview, I think, of how things are. You know, that was one of the things also with the Southern, was that we were getting that tag from around the world, outside the States. And I think at the time that while I was starting to write this record, I think there was a few people in the States as artists that were trying to identify what Southern was. And that really wasn't it at all to us. So even though our dialect, being from Kentucky, we sound Southern. Sometimes Kentucky dialect sounds more Southern than parts of the South itself.
So sure.
When we grew up, you know, Brian and I played in bands. We were really young. A lot of times there weren't a lot of people around to play with. We would sit in with older guys. But the music that we grew up in had Southern influences. When we would play a set, we might would have a couple country songs and a Skynyrd song in there, but we were also playing Bad Company and Free and and bands like that, you know, at the time I didn't realize it. Bad Company sounded to me like they were from Alabama. I had no idea they were from the UK. So
right.
We wanted to, as being a Southern band with that connotation, say, okay, this is kind of who we are as a Southern band. It's not, you know, No Shoes and Riding Horses to us. It was also AC/DC and Zeppelin and Bob Dylan and, you know, a lot of other things. So it's just our slant on being Southern, but traveling around the world in, we also see a lot of things language-wise. So I'm cognizant to interject Southern words and dialect into my songs and language that I heard my grandfather and people that I grew up around speak and use. I think it's important to us to carry on some of those Southern traditions, at least in language and lyrics, that I don't hear around the world.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned about people kind of pigeonholing you. You're from the South, and technically, I guess. But if you look at a band like Creed, you can't get much more South than where they're from, but they really nothing Southern rock about their sound. So it is kind of a, you know,
Absolutely,
I remember hearing, you know, back in the days before the internet, where you could pull up where a band was from in minutes, hearing Driving and Crying when they, you know, kind of broke with the song Fly Me Courageous. And it really didn't sound to me like the Georgia Satellites, you know, or, you know, the Allman Brothers or whoever. So it really, I think it does just kind of depend on what influences crept into what you listen to. You know, I think to me, when I listen to you guys, I almost sense like a little bit of Three Doors Down, where it's not, you know, there were, I believe, from Mississippi, if my memory is correct, or somewhere down in that area, but weren't really a Southern sound, but it certainly was different than what you would hear from some of the bands. So not a bad place to be at all, stylistically.
Yeah, and that's the thing. There's plenty of bands out there that kind of cover the Skynyrd thing or cover the Allman Brothers thing. We're trying to be a little bit of a, like a Driving and Crying that sounds familiar and sounds like it has a Southern touch to it, but also has its own sound. And to us, you know, we were probably as much or as more influenced by Driving and Crying than we were a lot of the bands noted as Southern. We didn't spend a lot of time listening to Marshall Tucker, but we listened to R.E.M., we listened to Driving and Crying, a lot of those Southern bands that are not quite Southern, but our influence has always been classic rock.
Good call, and
leaning in that direction anyway.
Good call on R.E.M., because I think if someone had said they were from the U.K., no one would have been surprised. You know, especially their latter catalog, it just doesn't sound like anything you hear out of bands from Georgia. So, you know, it's a little bit of what's blended into it. And you guys have, I think, a gritty sound more so than a Southern sound to me. You know, if I were to pigeonhole it, which is not a bad thing. A question for you. A couple of years ago, you guys went and finally got a full-time bassist. Was that just out of a sense of having someone else in the band to kind of solidify the writing process, or what kind of drove you to go out and kind of name, you know, a full-time guy there?
A couple things. First of all, I think in the studio, past the first record, we were kind of painting with all the brushes and all the colors, but live, we had to pare that down to more of a black and white and sepia thing. We just, I wasn't able to cover all those things that we were doing in the studio. And so we kind of kicked around the idea of bringing the bassist for a while. Bryce became available and is one of those guys that can play guitar, can play bass, can play keyboard. He plays organ with us as well. And it was a friend of a friend you know, was close enough around the band that we were familiar and friends early on. So it was easy for us to bring him in. But, you know, more than anything, just after a few albums, you know, after you've painted the one or two pictures, you want to do something a little bit more colorful. And Brian and I had also grown as musicians and just kind of wanted to stretch out and do some things that we weren't able to do with just us two in the band.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I look back and try to think of bands that would have been only a two-piece, and you're in a very select group there, and I imagine live that had to be a challenge for you, you know, even if you were an instrumental act, but to throw in the fact you're trying to sing, you know, and play the riffs and hold down, I mean, that puts a lot on Brian, I imagine, to try to fill some of that sound, you know, percussion wise.
Yeah, he was playing orchestra leader.
Yeah.
He was covering a lot of ground with that. And I brought multiple amps. I had a system that I could cover a lot of area in, but at the end it's like you just can't cover it all. And we wanted to stand more on the songs and not, we had some notoriety of being a two piece and people seeing us and go, "Well, I saw him play, they were just two guys and they sounded like four," and that's great. If we're talking about comparisons to the White Stripes, the Black Keys, you know, something like that. But after a while, we didn't want to be in that niche of, oh, they're that two-piece blues rock. You know, people already know what that is. And kind of wanted to get away from that.
Yeah, and it's got to make things liberating when you're arranging these songs in the studio to know that you've got more freedom and more capability to kind of do these without, you know, being like Mumford and Sons, where you've got to have a kick drum, or Geddy Lee, where you've got to have pedals at your feet to try to dance around to get all these sounds.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. You guys are doing some shows. I see actually one not horribly far from here. I saw you're doing in Pomeroy, Ohio, which for Pittsburgh is a little less than 3 hours for a lot of our listeners, so hopefully folks can come out to see that. But you're coming back around, I see, and doing a show in Lancaster after you go over to Europe after the album. Do you anticipate doing more of the album post-release? Like, if someone were interested, I think both these shows are probably about a three-hour drive. You know, if someone were to come see you in early August versus late September when you're playing Lancaster, do you plan on being able to introduce more of the live material? Is that still kind of up in the air?
No, we love to get them out early and see how they feel in front of the crowd. And really, a lot of this record we were playing before we went in the studio. You know, we want to, at this point, we've been around long enough to test the waters a little bit, and we'd love to play live and see how they go. And we've had a few surprises that we didn't know how well they would do live, and they've done really well. And, you know, we kind of curated the album knowing how the audience would react. So, no, we have full intention of playing everything and anything off the Southern, and then there'll be a companion album that's called the Southern 2 that will follow. It will be recorded the same time.
Okay.
That will follow in the spring, summer next year. So awesome. You'll hear some stuff recorded and some stuff probably not even out yet.
Yeah, and a lot of people love that. And you guys are to that fun part of your career where you've got to start worrying about the legacy of certain songs that people will be upset if you don't play. That's a great place to be in when you get that. You don't have to worry about playing the same song three times to fill the time slot. That's a good thing.
Yeah, we're blessed for that. And it's also great to hear somebody ask for something that we haven't played in a while, mm-hmm. or that we didn't expect. So we try to play what the fans want to hear. But that's always exciting to hear.
Fantastic.
Hear what people want to hear.
Well, hopefully, Chris, we'll get you in a little closer to Pittsburgh in 2025. Looks like your 2024 is pretty well spoken for, but I see nothing but upward trajectory for you guys. So I'm sure it won't be long before you're closer than 3 hours. But it's doable if people are really into the record. So thank you for your time, and I wish you guys all the best.
Thanks so much. We will definitely get to Pittsburgh sooner or later. You got a tour bus right now full of Steelers fans, so we got to get over there eventually.
Cage the Elephant is back. The Odd Pill Tour. August 29th, the Pavilion at Star Lake. With special guests Young the Giant and Bakar. Tickets on sale now at LiveNation.com. Don't miss Cage the Elephant.
I heard a big thank you to Chris Tapp. Again, the band The Cold Stairs. The album is out on September 6th. It's called The Southern. Hopefully we'll see them on the road pretty soon. And if you really like what you hear from them, they are playing in Lancaster at the Lancaster Roots and Blues Festival on September 28th. And then doing another show, which is pretty easily drivable, on the 29th. At a place called Hub City Vinyl in Hagerstown, Maryland. So if you don't mind taking a little bit of a drive to see a great band, and then you see them on the 28th or the 29th, you can pop back up to the original City Winery and catch the Georgia Thunderbolts on the 30th. So some great music over the span of 3 days, with just a little bit of effort to drive. But great to see these two bands, and great to see bands doing this kind of music. Steeped in blues, steeped in southern rock, layered in guitars, just fantastic stuff. So really appreciate both these bands and urge you to check out their entire album. You can check us out at IronCityRocks.com. We are on all the social medias as Iron City Rocks. And you can drop us an email at IronCityRocks@gmail.com. Appreciate hearing from you guys. Do you like bands like the Georgia Thunderbolts, new and upcoming bands? You want to hear some of the, legacy bands? What are you into? Blues, rock, metal? Let us know. We're kind of into all of it here, so we'd like to know what you like so we can, meet the needs of the listener. So thank you so much for taking the time to listen, and we'll talk to you next time.